Hello, welcome and kumusta. Thank you for joining me. This is Hal, your occupational therapist. What do we want to talk about today? I am in a position where I remember one time where I was in a group of multidisciplinary team, among multidisciplinary team members, physiotherapists, speech and language therapists. We have pharmacists, we have dietitians, and we were talking about ideas in terms of tutorials and the things that I can provide and I can offer in terms of the things that they wanted to learn. And one of the topics was cognition. I really don't want to talk about that. Delirium has always been the main hot topic and the hot potato when it comes to the current trend. This is the zeitgeist, the current trend. Delirium. Everybody wants to talk about delirium. Everybody wants to learn about delirium. Everybody wants to know how to manage delirium. And I have attended on some of the tutorials and presentation regarding delirium. And obviously, nobody knows what it is about. And there's a historical review of it being a problem from a long time ago, delirium. And in those presentations, so they talked about the biochemistry, why a person is behaving the way they do. Yes, that is very much understandable. But the question, like I always say, is, so what? We know what? Delirium. We know the history. Yes, we know the biochemistry and the suspicions of. Yes, we know the pain, the relationship of pain. Yes. But then the next question is, then what? Delirium. That's what? So what? Do we want to manage it? Yes. Then what? How? How is the next question? How do we want to address this? And people were saying it's a multisensory approach to delirium. And there is a lot of focus on few modalities, particularly on the visual modality, where you get the person to allow them to see much better by giving them the glasses, their reading glasses. And then some of the auditory stimulations, which is, again, there's not a lot of emphasis and focus on that. The other thing is putting the person in an optimized position, like being sat out or turning the lights on, particularly with the day and night. Good. That's a good one. That's a good start. The thing with that is it is not enough to get to that stage. I feel those stages are the ultimate outcome, because once a person is able to do those things, then they're already out of that stage of delirium. When the person is having a delirious state, that's it. There are some behavioral concerns. There are attentional concerns. There is a reality orientation concern. The way I see it, and it is there on DSMs, delirium to begin with is not a problem. Delirium is a symptom. It is a disorder and a symptom, a disorder of consciousness. And it is in the lines of those concerns like coma, which is the profound loss of consciousness. Coma vigil, where a person is almost ready to respond. See, even with that coma vigil, you ask a person, they seem to be unaware, and yet you ask them and then they would respond. They're on coma vigil. Yeah, that is nowadays, based on our definition, that is also considered as a delirium. That's considered as a hypodelirium. You know, you have a twilight state where a person gets confused. And the classic delirium definition would be there is delirium, there is agitation, there is restlessness, and there are some hallucinations as well. So delirium is a symptom. The way I see it, this is a cognitive tone. It starts with the tone of the cognition. And I'm probably the only person at the moment who's saying about this. cognitive tone. Just like any other system, there is a tone, the readiness for that system to receive information, and so that the person will react in a purposeful way, the cognitive tone. And the way I see it, delirium, as you are aware, for those of you who are practicing, particularly in the field of neurology and head injury, delirium happens and it's a stage in between when a person is being well, going to that stage of being unwell. That's the phase where the person goes in. And it happens from when the person is unwell, going to the stage where they are. And again, that's that middle stage. And it just depends on how long this person will stay in that middle stage. And I think we can influence that. Obviously, once there are biochemical changes in the body, it is very understandable that the person will have altered conscious level, and one of them can be delirium, yeah, and delirious. I have been unwell so many times with flu and with fever, and I know the feeling. In my language, it's called delubio, but you're there, you're sick, you're unwell, you're in a dreamlike state. So that cognitive stage and that stage is something that needed to change. First rule and first way on how we can overcome this, we have to make sure that there are no biochemical issues, that the biochemistry is resolved. Once there are biochemical issues, then it is a battle managing this. And that's fine. It's part of it. It's part of the rehabilitation. It's early rehabilitation. So after that, once a person, say, coming out from a phase of being unwell and recovery, what does the person normally do? The person normally sleeps. And why is this sleep very important? And sleep is not just happening on the pattern. The body is resting, it's sleeping, it's almost going into a standby mode, because the body does not want to use up any other unnecessary energy so that it can heal and restore itself. So sleep is a natural thing for the body to do. Obviously, there will be associated problems with sleep and sleeping throughout the day. While it is good, it brings with it some detrimental effects, like deconditioning, for example. So how do we want to do with the sleep? We want to balance it. We want to control it, and we want to manage the sleep. So we need to allow them a period of rest, a period of wakefulness, a period of rest, period of wakefulness. Yeah, we need to do that. And on the period of wakefulness, we stimulate them. We facilitate engagement and purposeful activities, and then they will get tired because all of the things that's been happening, and then they need to rest again. So that's another thing. The other thing that we need to do, we need to stimulate cognition, and cognition and thinking can be stimulated not just by words, because with words, you have to process things. If you reorientate them, you have to interpret all of these sounds and these syllables. And it is very effortful already. That's a high-level task of the brain already. What you need to do is the brain needs to understand and process sensation. And what are the sensations that you can provide? You can have the tactile stimulus, and there will be some effects on these tactile stimuli. You can have a rough, which would be facilitatory, smooth, which would be inhibitory. So if you want to facilitate something, then you need to provide rough surfaces and areas on areas that are sensory sensitive. What are these sensory sensitive areas? It can be the hand, the sole of the feet, the face, the ears, okay? These are areas where you can stimulate that. The other stimulation that the body can understand, that the mind, once you stimulate the body, the mind will interpret this, would be the proprioceptive stimuli. And what is the proprioceptive stimuli? Again, there are a few things in here. If you want to facilitate, then you need to give gross motor activity, which is big joints of the movement, and it has to be fast, okay, rather than slow. You do something gentle rocking, then it will be inhibitory. You do something fast, then that would be facilitatory. Deep pressure would be a facilitatory technique, or actually inhibitory if it's low. Vibratory input would be facilitatory as well. So these are proprioceptive stimuli is something that you would do to manage that. And then you just need to find out what kind of stimulus you need to provide in this field. The next thing would be the vestibular stimuli. And this is going to be very tricky because it entails a huge amount of moving and handling. When you stimulate the person, you are stimulating their vestibular subsystem. And when you're stimulating the vestibular subsystem, then again, just like anything else, there are facilitatory and inhibitory techniques that you can do for this. And for the vestibular subsystem, the head needs to be upright, okay? Because it's only then where you're stimulating the labyrinth system and you have linear movements, which is facilitatory depending on the rate of the movement. So that's going to be fast. Or you can have gentle rocking, which would have been slow. So even if those people who are barely awake, you would notice that if you hoist them up, they're waking up. So that is a stimulation as well, a one way on how we can tap onto the mind. Obviously, the auditory subsystem is there, very passive. It's always active. It doesn't have a huge effect, only to a certain degree when the decibels are high. High-pitched, high sound, that's facilitatory, and that can cause more behavioral problems. But if you provide in rhythmic movement, it is something that's being interpreted by the brain as well. Visual, obviously, brighter stimulation, dim calming. All of these approaches technically is sensory integration, okay? Sensory integration, where you get the sensation onto the brain and the brain then interprets what's happening, and then somebody will have more purposeful movement or purposeful responses after this sensory integration. Very straightforward approach. For me, it's easy because I understand it, I've seen it, I've implemented it many times, particularly in pediatrics, but I've seen that working in neurology as well. And anything, it's really there. It dictates a person's behavior and it dictates a person's character, all these sensory stimuli and sensory systems as well. Okay, this is it, guys. This is the story when it comes to delirium. Okay, it's only then, once the person is awake, then you can start to stimulate. At the end of it, it's all sensory stimulation. And I have some different techniques and strategy. We call it the matter sensory approach when it comes to delirium management post-operatively. That will be in our talk some other point. I hope you learned a little something out of this discussion. Just remember, anything you do matters and has an outcome. Until next time, bye. If you enjoyed this podcast, talk to your friends and colleagues about it. Like it, subscribe, share, and do what you can to appease whatever algorithm that is at play. Just remember, guys, anything you do matters and has an outcome. Until next time, bye.